Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. Sup, Luca?
Hey, Cayman, how are you doing today on this wonderful weekend day?
I am doing pretty good. My leg is a little sore. I don't think I pulled a tendon or something because yesterday I had to cut down a tree.
You cut down a tree?
Valerie's husband, Xander, helped me out, and he actually did most of the cutting because it's his chainsaw. But yeah, one of the trees in my yard, a big section of it fell off onto our roof. And so
what? Yeah. Damaged or no?
No, actually, surprisingly not.
Oh, wow. Let's go. That's good.
So pulled that down. But then also, earlier this year, literally half of that tree just broke off and collapsed. And the inside of the tree looks really healthy, so I don't know why it kept breaking. But I was like, this is too much. We need to just, get rid of the whole tree instead of just waiting until pieces break off and then chopping those up.
Yeah, yeah.
So took the whole tree down and cut it up into carryable pieces, but still pretty heavy, and it had just rained earlier that day, so all of the wood was kind of wet, which made it heavier.
Oh gosh.
So it was a lot of work.
Yeah, it sounds like your muscles are kind of shot.
But other than that, been a pretty chill weekend.
That's good. On my side, it's been an okay weekend. I actually last night we were out with some friends.
Yeah.
We watched that Thor movie.
Okay. Okay.
So that's not what we're talking about today, but we watched one of the newer Thor movies. I won't tell you what I thought about it unless you want me to.
I'll save it. We'll do it in the future.
Yeah. And we had takeout, some Indian cuisine takeout, which was pretty good. And then today I literally just came back from being out at the park. I needed to get some action moving in. So I was playing some volleyball with some friends of mine, and now I'm back.
Nice.
It was okay. Feeling not too great this weekend for some reason. So I was trying to, do everything I could to prevent it. No, just I don't know, man. Mood.
Oh, I gotcha. Gotcha.
Just a weird, weird vibe. Very weird vibe. I feel I'm not myself. I'm out of my body. It's really strange. But
I just got a Zoom message from one of my project managers last night. And he was like, hey, on Monday, can you request 90% sets from the consultants? And that kind of freaked me out a little bit because I know I'm definitely not anywhere near 90% on that project.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, is it coming up that quickly?
Oh, gosh. From consultants, you're going to be asking 90%? Do you guys not have deadlines to hand off and stuff?
We usually just have a deadline for final documents, but yeah. 90% deadline is a little bit more flowy, just close to the end.
Yeah. Just a check-in kind of deal.
Yeah. Just I'll ask for a 90% set so that I can make sure anything model wise that they've changed, I can update in my model. But then we also have a 90% meeting where we'll just go over everything and make sure that everyone's on the same page before final documents get sent out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dang. Don't stress out too much. You got this. I'm sure there's enough time.
I hope so.
Yeah. If not, you can always work late for the last push,
Or just miss the deadline and push it out a little bit.
Yeah, you could do that too, but yeah. Alrighty. Well, that was our weekend, but let's talk about the movie. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about the 2021 movie, Spider-Man No Way Home. Came out only last year, so we're getting pretty close to catching up here.
Pretty close, yeah.
It was directed by John Watts and written by Chris McKenna and Eric Summers.
What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was kind of a one-time special event sort of a movie. I feel like when I saw it in theaters, I really liked it, but upon watching it a second time, it wasn't as good.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because you noticed other things or just because it was the second time watching it?
I think just a lot of the fun in this movie comes from new stuff happening and like, oh, I didn't expect this, or oh, that's a funny thing, or like things like that, that like once you know what's going to happen, it like, I don't know, it kind of lost some of the appeal for me.
Interesting.
But if you only watch it once, good movie.
Yeah, like I just watched it once and it was a good movie. It was okay. It was not bad. I think it was very, how do I say? Yeah, good for a one-time watch. I don't think I would go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't really think you need to. I think like like once you know what happens at the end, like everything in the middle is kind of, because it, without getting too spoilery, it all sort of settles itself.
No, I'm right there with you. I think that there were a lot of parts in the movie that could have gone without him, quite honestly.
And it's a very like, obviously there's like a few things that are left hanging, but for the most part, it's a pretty like clean break at the end. There's not like a cliffhanger or anything. It's just like, no, this is what's happening.
Yeah, like, oh, that's it. Alrighty. Yeah, there's not much thinking also going on in the movie. It's, again, typical Marvel movie where you sit down, you don't need to use any brain cells. That's how I feel about them, at least. But what was the budget for this movie and all that stuff?
So this movie had an estimated budget of $200 million, and it ended up making about a little over $1.9 billion. So
pretty
darn good.
I didn't know that. Wait, why do you think it was that much?
Spider-Man's one of the most popular superheroes in existence. So.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
I guess we'll do a quick Marvel Minute. There's not really a whole lot going on. I know as far as TV shows, the only other one that came out between this and Shang-Chi is Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. Which is honestly a pretty good series. There are definitely things that I like didn't like about it, but it's like set around Christmas time, so it's like very I guess I wouldn't say family focused, but it's like it's a nice series, and even when there's bad stuff going on, it still feels very like relaxing to just sit down and watch and be like, oh, Hawkeye.
Nice.
And then movie-wise, there was only one movie between Shang-Chi and Spider-Man, and that is Eternals, which is a completely separate, like, it's in the same universe, but honestly, you'd have no way of knowing that. Like, you could watch that and pretend it wasn't connected, and it wouldn't make a single difference, because there's no, like, no other characters show up. Everything that happens in Eternals is very separated.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, I just looked it up and I don't know any of these characters.
Yeah, it's basically like the all of the characters have
Is Wong in there? Is that Wong?
No.
No. Well, okay.
All of the Eternals have been on Earth for like thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And it's basically like it shows different moments throughout time that like led them to where they are now. And they're like, start off as a team, and then over the millennia they like sort of drift apart, and then in the modern day they have to like get back together for a big team up because there's a problem that they have to solve.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, so I guess we didn't need to watch that to tie in the lines.
Yeah, but unless there's anything else you wanted to add before we get spoilery, I believe it is time to step into the box stingery.
Let's do it.
Do you want to go first on this one?
Let's do it. Spider-Man, having been convicted of something that he didn't do, is facing the consequences as his friends and family are feeling the heat as well. While trying to fix the issue, Spider-Man, unfortunately, on accident, created a bigger issue, which he had to team up with himself and many he had to team up with himself to fix.
All right.
I don't know. I guess I could have put like actual words in there. I didn't think of like, you know, mentioning Doctor Strange and all that jazz, but it is what
I'll be sure to add all those in mine so I can get the point.
Yeah. Go for it.
After being blamed for the murder of Mysterio, Peter Parker seeks out the assistance of Doctor Strange to help his friends and family with their newfound fame, but like, what's a word for fame that's in like in a negative sense? I guess infamy. Their newfound infamy. And so he seeks out Doctor Strange's help, and things go awry. I'm gonna leave it there.
That works.
Okay. This says Peter Parker is unmasked and no longer able to separate his normal life from the high stakes of being a superhero. When he asks for help from Doctor Strange, the stakes become even more dangerous, forcing him to discover what it truly means to be Spider-Man.
Well, said Doctor Strange.
I also said Peter Parker.
Yeah, yeah. You get it. You get it.
You just gotta be better with the names, dude.
I didn't think clearly on this one. Dude, I have them all written down right here. I don't know. I guess I didn't want to spoil anything, but I think you need to.
I mean, I don't think that's too spoilery, saying Doctor Strange is in it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I should have. I kind of said at the very end of my thing, but not good enough.
All right, well, let's do a quick break and then we'll come back.
Let do we.
Alrighty.
All right.
So starting off, I would like to ask, I'm assuming you have not seen Spider-Man Far From Home?
I don't think so.
Okay, because that's the one that has Mysterio in it. So I don't know, like, obviously the beginning of this movie starts right at the end of the last Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've seen it.
Okay. Well, basically, in that movie, there is a bad guy who pretends that he's a good guy, and he is like going around the world, like fighting these giant monsters. But then they figure out that all of the monsters are things that he created. So he's like conjuring up all of these big monsters and then defeating them so that he looks like a hero. But obviously, he's causing a lot of actual destruction while doing that.
Damn. Okay.
And the part of the way that he is creating these monsters is like there's a bunch of super high-tech drones, and so he has
this
ability to like control these drones and like fly around and like project the image of these giant monsters, but then all of the damage that the monsters are quote-unquote doing is actually just the drones like shooting explosives and stuff and like blowing shit up.
No shot.
And so Spider-Man gets control of the drones and like destroys all of them, but the bad guy Quentin Beck uses his like special effects and editing powers to like change the recording of Spider-Man destroying the drones and makes it sound like he's using the drones to destroy other people.
So then it
makes Spider-Man look like the bad guy.
Okay, that makes the beginning more clear. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, if we're about to go in deep, we should probably do a spoiler, you know?
Yeah, get on it.
All right, let's see if you arrive.
Oh, hello. This is the spoiler section. Don't listen if you don't want the movie spoiled. Spoiled.
All right. He was there. He interrupted me there halfway through. That was kind of crazy.
I mean, I guess hopefully no one was trying to watch Spider-Man movie because I just spoiled that one.
yeah, I just thought of it like we went into it too quick, but that's all right. It is what it is. We're not talking,
but now you're ready for
one,
this
so.
Movie to be spoiled, so
exactly. All righty, well, you know, this movie overall was quite cool. There were like a lot of surprises in it, which I wasn't ready for. Very a lot of nostalgia almost coming out.
Yeah.
And I think they teetered on the edge of like nostalgia slash, I don't know, making them as equals, if you know what I'm talking about, all the Spider-Mans.
Okay.
I did enjoy that quite a lot. And I think the OG Spider-Man, the OG Peter Parker, to me is always going to be the best Spider-Man just all because right. he's that OG. But I think they played it very well in making them all, you know, as a team, as one Peter Parker.
Nice. I would have to agree with that. I think in terms of balance, I think Tom Holland strikes a pretty good balance. So that makes me want to say that he is my favorite Spider-Man, but I don't say that in a way to mean like and either of the other two are bad. Tobey Maguire, I think Tobey Maguire fits really well in the Peter Parker role, because he like has that very like nerd energy. Like you could imagine him being someone that like got picked on in high school, but right. he's like, he doesn't have the confidence that I would expect from Spider-Man. And then and Andrew Garfield, on the other hand, is like way too cool to be a nerd, so he like doesn't really fit the Peter Parker role as well. But when he's in the suit and being Spider-Man, then he like really lets loose and you feel the energy a bit more.
Wait, so you think Andrew Garfield is more confident?
Yes.
Interesting. I thought the complete opposite. I thought Andrew Garfield was the lesser confident Spider-Man, and the OG Spider-Man, what's the actor's name?
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. I thought he is like was the most confident out of all of them.
I think in this movie, yes, and that makes a little bit more sense, because obviously in this movie he's like an older Spider-Man, and so he has like a lot more experience, and it makes sense that he would be like kind of not on edge about anything. He's just like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. Like it's the kind of confidence that comes with experience. But like in terms of their individual, like if you go back and watch the old Tobey Maguire movies, and then if you watch like the original two Andrew Garfield movies, you can see a much different sort of energy coming out of both of them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I would agree with that. I was saying that as in like this current movie, I thought that Andrew Garfield was more on the timid side and like didn't believe in himself as much. Because even Tobey Maguire at one point was like, hey, like, stop saying that. You need to be confident. You're like, you're a great Spider-Man, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I think that was also a little, like, almost a little bit on the meta side. Like, you can find the motivation behind that in-universe, but also people, like, especially the Amazing Spider-Man 2, Andrew Garfield's second movie, people really did not like that movie, and it like sort of turned into this weird sort of backlash where people said both of his movies sucked, and for a long time people were just acting like it was like those are the worst Spider-Man movies in the entire world. And so I think it's like from a sort of like from a meta perspective, you have that moment so that you can be like, hey, no, like, yes, there was criticism for your movies, but you are still an amazing Spider-Man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of that in this movie where people were like talking to each other, but like the things that they were saying were very like referencing real world things rather than stuff that was happening in the movie.
I see. Were you saying there that Andrew Garfield had a bad second movie or Tobey Maguire?
Andrew Garfield.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, yeah, I never saw him as like a good Spider-Man. I don't know. He just didn't fit the role in my head ever, but that's okay. He doesn't need to. Maybe it's just like the face is just too different.
Maybe
just like too not nerdy looking.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He doesn't feel like a nerd, but when he has the suit and the mask on and he's like flipping around and being all like happy, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, like he does a great job at that. Right. His strength is on the Spider-Man side and Tobey Maguire's strength is on the Peter Parker side.
I got you. Yeah, that makes total sense. Well, since we talked about the Spider-Mans, let's see. I guess I can start talking about the beginning of the movie. One part that I kind of did not enjoy.
Okay.
Was when the Spider-Man in how are we going to name these Spider-Men? Are we going to name them by their actors' names or just like Spider-Man 1, 2, 3?
I will just use the actor names.
Okay, well,
as long as that's okay with you and you're able to remember them.
yeah, I'll be fine. Okay, well, Tom Holland's Spider-Man at the start, right? When he got discovered, when he was framed, I guess, via the network and all that jazz. And all of a sudden, like, there were helicopters everywhere and they were like just flying super low in the city. I did not enjoy that part of these helicopters flying super low mid-city and then also like right in front of his house and all that stuff. Uh-huh. To me, that was a little bit overbearing almost. Like, you didn't need to make them helicopters. You could have just as easily made them news vans with like, you know, the scope coming out of the top with like a camera on it or something.
But yeah, okay.
The helicopter for me was over the top because it's not realistic.
See, that didn't bother me as much. I really liked the sort of hectic nature and the like fast paced filmography of the opening. Like you see, obviously in the beginning, it's like a lot of still shots, and you see like, here's the shot of the newscast, and then a shot of Spider-Man, and then a shot of MJ being harassed, and then he swoops down and picks her up, and then all of a sudden you have like all of these like in your face cam of them swinging around and stuff. And then he gets back to the apartment, and there's like this long, like shaky cam one shot of him like going into the apartment, and then Happy comes in, and then they go in there and they think that they're having sex, and that becomes a whole thing. And then they walk out into the living room, and the news is on, and people are throwing stuff at the window. It's like this whole thing. And I just like, I feel like the way that they directed that whole opening thing sort of gives the audience the feeling of like how chaotic Peter's life just became.
I'm right there with you. I totally agree. Just the thing is, I did not like those helicopters. Those helicopters, just if you know anything about like flying, like even RC planes, you're not allowed to fly them that low, and you're not allowed to fly them in the city. There's paths you have to do, and like even if you're a news helicopter, you can't be doing that.
Maybe there's different laws in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, maybe. But no, I totally agree with you. Like the hectic nature of, from the get-go, of him finding out like he's being framed, and then this news dude that always pops up and is talking shit about him throughout the whole movie to like rile the people up, kind of, you know, conspiracy theorist wise. I did enjoy that a lot.
I also really liked the appearance of Matt Murdock. I'm pretty sure you haven't seen any of the Netflix Marvel stuff, have you?
I have. Who is he again? Okay. The blind guy with the cane. Who is he?
He's Daredevil.
I could not put my finger on it. Daredevil. Oh my God. Right. Bro, I saw him and I was like, fuck, where is he from?
Yeah. I remember in like, because it was kind of hard to avoid knowing that the other two Spider-Men were going to be in. There was like a whole leak with Andrew Garfield. Someone had leaked a photo of him on the Statue of Liberty set, and you could see it was just like him in a Spider-Man costume leaning on a rail, and there was like a green screen in the background, and everyone was like, is he going to be in the new Spider-Man movie? And like every single, I think it was at the time he was actually out promoting Tick Tick Boom, which we have also reviewed, but while he was on his promotional tour for that movie, people kept asking about Spider-Man, and he was just like flat denying it every single time. He was like, nope, it's Photoshop. That's not me. I don't know what's going on. I'd love to be in a Spider-Man movie, but no one's talked to me about it. And obviously he's like lying through his teeth the whole time. But
yeah.
So I fully expected them to be in it, but I remember in the theater when Matt Murdock showed up, I was just like, oh my God. Cause like, I love the Daredevil series.
Yeah, no, I do too. It was so good. I've actually watched those.
So that was a really fun inclusion.
Yeah. It just threw me for a loop. Cause I was like, oh my God, where do I know this guy from? And I forgot like what his powers or his, you know, ability was. But now that you say that, he's Daredevil, like, of course.
One thing I don't like though, is I feel like, I don't know, I was expecting more like legal trouble. But it was like all of this stuff with the news, and then like two scenes later, Daredevil shows up and he's like, I don't think any of the charges are going to stick. And then it's just like everything just gets brushed aside.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, because because obviously like I was expecting it to be like, I don't know, the cops are trying to arrest him and like because obviously he got framed for murder. And so I would expect there to be like he has to go to a trial or something. And not like I wanted this to turn into a courtroom movie, but like, I don't know, I expected more legal trouble to come out of it. But then it was just like, oh, no, what are we going to do? You're getting framed for murder. And then the next scene is Daredevil being like, nah, you're not going to prison. And he's like, oh, cool. And then they don't ever talk about that anymore.
That's so true. It's like, you don't really. That's what I'm saying. Like some of these parts of the movie just really had like they didn't need to be in it. Like this whole legal thing and then them being put in like going to the police office and being interrogated.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to go somewhere. But then like you just said, it just kind of died.
Yeah.
But then he was like, Mr. Murdock was like, oh, but like you're going to have to really make sure you get a lawyer because you might be in trouble. So that one other guy, I forget his name.
Happy Hogan.
Happy. Yeah, Happy.
Yeah, he said because there was some missing Stark technology. Which I think is at, like, I didn't think about it until earlier, but I think that's in reference to, because remember that later box. We find out he has that big box in his apartment. Mm-hmm. And so apparently he stole that.
Yeah. That's probably what it was in turn to. But anyway, yeah. So like all that jazz happened. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, they're off the hook. So the next scene that we see is Tom Holland going to his school again. And his principal is like obviously like a huge super fan of Spider-Man's. And then like we only see like, you know, the cabinet with like the Spider-Man junk in there.
But then, like two of the teachers are like, oh, we're so proud of you. And then the third teacher is like, no, you're a murderer.
Yeah, basically. And then, like, you know, that just happens. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go to class. And then the camera pans and like all those students are filling the halls with like their camera phones out.
Yeah.
And like taking pictures and shit. I don't know if I like that. Like, if you are being framed as a killer, right?
Yeah.
And you literally just finished with like police stuff, would you be going to school?
I mean,
or would you be fighting the case to, you know, clear your name?
That was after he had already had the whole business with Matt Murdock.
Right, but I don't think anyone else knew about that. Like, that hadn't been broadcasted yet, had it?
I mean, yeah, but like, I mean, there's only so much you can do. Even if he like went through a full trial and was like, "I'm legally innocent," and it was like in the news, I feel like the moment. Even if he had like stayed away from school and done all that and then went back to school, his first day back at school. Yeah, same shit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't know if that beginning scene, like framing him and all that, like I know why they did it, but I feel like there could have been something else that he may have done or like been framed for that wouldn't have put him into like the scrutiny of the public eye like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the build up, but for some reason, there's like a disconnect between like we're talking about like him having this issue going to the police and all of a sudden him being let off the hook.
Yeah.
Like that middle portion is just missing for me.
Yeah. I think there could have been a little bit more detail there, but I think what the problem was is they had, I feel like they really didn't want to deal with all of that Mysterio stuff. And so the opening was just like them trying to move past it as quickly as possible so that they could start doing all of the multiverse stuff, which is what they really wanted to do.
Which is what their goal was, right? Right.
Right.
Yeah. But then there's also like another disconnect for me, which was like that beginning portion happened, the police thing. Then he went to school and there's like that school thing. And then all of a sudden he's going to, Doctor Strange. Jesus Christ.
It's like, I can help you, but you got to give me something.
Nope. Doctor Strange. And then he went to Doctor Strange after that, in like this weird building where there's snow coming down. Dude, I can't tell you how lost I was at the beginning of this movie. And maybe it's because I didn't see the other Spider-Man movie prior to this one.
Yeah.
So that's obviously why I was confused at the start of this. Like, why is he being framed? Like, what happened?
Right.
But then when he went to see Doctor Strange and like the building was snowing, there are people shoveling and he needed his help. I was so lost as to what he was needing help for. It was just, the whole thing was just confusing.
Yeah. Well, because he was in the coffee shop and then went, because it was, they had the whole thing of them like applying to different colleges and they were like, oh, we're really trying to get into MIT. And then they got like denied to a bunch of places and they're all in there and it was like, basically the letter was like, because you're friends with Spider-Man, we're not going to take you in, which is like completely bullshit. And I don't really think that
complete horseshit.
I don't think a university would ever do that.
No,
but
there's no way.
But they're like really sad about it. And then the little like Dracula ornaments on above the counter remind him of Doctor Strange. He's like, I don't know, maybe magic can fix this.
Yeah, which I don't know, like it's kind of stupid in my opinion to all of a sudden be like, yeah, I think I'm gonna wipe everyone's memory or ask this magician for help just because of like this, it's like this little school issue. I don't know. Yeah. It was just like a weird jump to Doctor Strange.
Well, I mean, and Doctor Strange even says that later after they get done with the whole spell and he's like, wait, you didn't even call them and ask them to reconsider?
Right.
But I will say, I think the whole like spell fucking up and causing all of the multiversal stuff, I think is like 98% Doctor Strange's fault. Like,
wait, really?
he like Peter came to him for help and he was like, is there anything you can do? And then he was like, oh, I do have this one memory wiping spell. And Peter's like, oh, awesome. And then literally he like, without any explanation or questions or anything, he's like, starts casting
Starts going. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, if he had just sat down and been like, hey, just so you know how this works, it's going to wipe out everyone's memory. So if there's anyone that you don't want their memory wiped, tell me right now before I start.
No, I'm right there with you. Yeah.
And I feel like that would have fixed everything.
It literally would have fixed the whole movie. Like, at the very end, they wiped everyone's memory anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. And it's also kind of Doctor Strange's fault for getting annoyed while casting a spell.
Yeah. Also, I don't like, why did he? Because he kept just like, he was like in the middle of the spell and then he was like adding bits and pieces and he was like, stop changing the spell. And I'm like, can't you just like stop the spell and start over?
Yeah. I don't know how all that works.
I don't know. But it felt like, I feel like he kept blaming Spider-Man, but I think it was mostly his fault for not explaining magic to a child.
I'm right there with you, honestly. And then he did say at one point, like, oh, I just forget you're a kid sometimes. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of how he put it. But yeah. But I did like that the scene for when he was doing the spell casting, like the surroundings, the set.
Yeah.
The setup was like super intricate and it was really cool. It was really cool how they, you know, put like different things that Doctor Strange needs to make the spell. And it was very engaging, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. The visuals were very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I'm still a little like, I wish all of his magic wasn't orange. I feel like it'd be nice to get some different colors here and there, but I understand you have to like keep like it a theme going for each character because there's like multiple magic characters. And so I feel like having different colored magic for each magic person makes it seem like when you see orange magic, you're like, oh, that's Doctor Strange and all of the other like those kind of magicians. And then you see like some weird purpley magic and you're like, oh, that's this other character. And it makes it easier to identify on screen, but still makes me a little sad.
Yeah, I get that. Honestly, it didn't bother me at all.
It didn't bother me that much in this movie. I'm just saying, like, in addition to all of the other movies that Doctor Strange is in, I just, like, overall wish that he had more variety. But I think... Yeah.
Maybe that's just, like, a time thing, though, you know? Like, time is gold. Time is money.
Yeah, but he wasn't even doing a time thing.
Yeah, true. I'm right there with you, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, like, oh, that wasn't like a time spell. I mean, although he is like the time warden or whatever. What's his name? What's his title?
The Sorcerer Supreme.
Sorcerer Supreme, yeah. I mean, they deal with time. So maybe that's why? I'm not sure.
No, they just deal with like protecting Earth from otherworldly threats.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. He even like specifically mentioned, because that was Peter's first suggestion, he was like, oh, can you just like go back in time and change that? And he's like, well, I don't have the time stone anymore. So they literally can't, like, he can't do time stuff anymore because the time stone was destroyed.
Right. Damn, the time stone was destroyed. But then it was brought, was it destroyed?
They borrowed a time stone from a different timeline. But then remember, Steve Rogers brought all the Infinity Stones back to their own universes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there's only one of there's multiple of the time stones in each universe. Yeah, there's like a whole thing. Let's see.
I also thought, I don't know, this is like, I just thought it was a little weird that this is supposed to be like a memory erasing spell, and then somehow messing that up, it turns into this thing where it's like bringing people from other universes. And that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, but I can like kind of look past it because I'm like, ah, whatever, it's magic. So like, if you say this is what happens when you fuck up a spell, then this is what happens when you fuck up a spell. But what I thought was like, I couldn't look past as easily was he was saying, oh, it's bringing in everyone that knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. But then there was only two people that it brought in. It brought in other versions of Spider-Man and it brought in some bad guys. But I'm like, why didn't it never brought in like another version of Aunt May, or it never brought in like one of the other Spider-Man's girlfriends? Like, there are other non-bad guy people that know his secret identity.
Right.
But it never brought any of them in.
Oh, that's a really good thought. I didn't think of that. Yeah. Wow, that would have been a really cool movie if all of a sudden, like, all the Spider-Men are there with like their girls and they're trying to like figure out what's what. And then like the girls are like, oh my God, Spider-Man, because they know him. And then it's not the right Spider-Man and they're freaking out.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been hilarious. Yeah. Unfortunate. Yeah.
I get there's only so much you can put in a movie, but just like, I don't know. I feel like you could have balanced it out. Do like, you had five villains. You can maybe like take one or two of those away and put in another good guy.
I mean, they did give us two Spider-Men. You know, that's two and five.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. That would have brought like a very good variance to the movie. I agree. I didn't even think of that. That's damn. Now I kind of wish that would have happened.
But speaking of the villains, I have to say, I think far and away the best performance in this movie is Willem Dafoe as Norman Osborn. I think he absolutely crushed it. And it, like, even like the scenes where he's like helpless little, like going to the food shelter and he's like, I don't know what happened. I just showed up here. And then later when he's like full on psychopath, and I'm like, bro, he is killing it.
Dude, I think even in like the like the OG Spider-Mans, he always is just on it. I think he has like one of those faces that just speaks of like he could be evil, but like he can change it to being a nice guy. It's really weird.
Also it was a little like, I don't know, you got to see more of his performance this time, because in the first Spider-Man movie he has that big green mask on and so you don't see his face half the time,
but his face gets some reactions though. Holy shit,
he breaks the mask as soon as he shows up in this one, and so he's like full on, like you see his crazy smile and his like eyes get like dagger sharp and he's just like, ooh, he is in it.
Yeah Like I can't imagine acting like that for hours on end and not having some kind of backlash in your life outside of the movie. Like, I don't know, like something, in my opinion, if you act like that, some of that carries over, right? And that's why some actors all the time go to like therapists and stuff, because it's hard for them to sometimes separate
who I mean, I think it
are versus like the character that they played for so long.
I think it depends on the actor. I know like some actors really like embody their roles, and especially like people who do method acting where they're like, I'm going to live this lifestyle for like 2 months before filming. I'm like, okay, that's a lot. And like, I don't know, I guess for some people it like helps them get in the right headspace, but then there are other actors who just like are out and just having like and they just like show up on set and they're like, all right, let's go.
yeah I don't know which one's better. I mean, I guess to each his own, but yeah, I don't know, again, if he's one of those types, but man, his face, like even just looking at it, no offense to, you know, to William Dafoe, but man, his face just looks evil.
Yeah.
Something about it. I think it's like the sharp nose, big nostrils, and then like the razor blue pointed eyes. It's just like, oh, something about it is just very off-putting, which is why he just makes a great, you know, villain. whenever Parker was, you know, out trying to, after the spell was miscast, I believe it was after, and he was looking for the what was she in the cars in the highway,
some sort of like a representative, or I don't know, because she said she was going to talk to the like the application board, which means she's not on the application board.
Yeah, I guess she's just the one that brings names in or like cancels people.
Yeah, I don't know,
but I hated the fact that he was like in his Spider-Man and there's like traffic and he just like gets down and starts walking through the cars and like spots her. And I'm like, that's such fucking bullshit. And out of all those cars, all of a sudden, like you see her through sheer fucking luck. No way. I don't know. I didn't like that. There's other ways that Spider-Man could have found her. Like if she's going to the airport, then
just wait at the entrance at the airport.
Yeah, make this fighting scene that happens with like all these villains at the airport. That would have been fucking sick, but it is what it is. I think that was just too easy, too on the nose.
It's so interesting, the like different things that catch us up, because that's like, it makes sense when you say it, but that's one of those things that like didn't even faze me when it happened.
Really, dude? I don't know. That just really annoyed me. I was like, there's no fucking way. Like his suit's not working. All of a sudden he literally jumps down from that big old sign, turns into like, takes the suit off, turns into a regular dude with the suit on and is running through cars. And he just like looks to the right and he's like, oh, there she is. I'm like,
I thought it was a nice detail that his suit was like super fucking wrinkly, because like obviously it got smooshed up underneath his Spider-Man suit.
Underneath the nanotech, which you hate.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it in this movie. I just want to see how you think of how you feel of it. There was a lot of nanotech coming in on this movie.
I mean, it was really just his suit.
I mean, yeah, it was his suit, but it did so much. Like, it held back that dude's the other guy's weird spider leg arms.
Yeah,
and then it like protected the Peter Parker, the OG, not the OG. I'm not at the end of the movie yet, so I'm just gonna say Tom Holland's
okay
Spider-Man. Whenever he was fighting under the bridge during this scene right now.
Yeah.
And then like moved from his head down to his chest to like protect his body, which was really cool. But I was like, sure. I wonder what Kamen thinks of this. Cause like the nanotech's just doing so much work, carrying so much work and weight in this movie.
Well, but also I like, cause the reason that I don't like the nanotech is cause I feel like it takes away from the cool suit up scenes. Like in the early Iron Man films, you have all those scenes where he's like, he's got all those arms and it's like mechanically changing his suit, or even like on the Avengers Tower, he like lands and then as he's walking, it takes the suit off him. I'm like, that shit is cool. But yeah. Now that he has nanotech, it's just like he presses a button and he's got a suit. And I'm like, yeah, that feels lame.
Yeah. But yeah, okay, I get that.
Spider-Man never really had a cool suit up sequence. Like the only time we ever see him get into his suit, it's like, he's putting on pajamas and I was like, yeah. Like it's not as cool, so I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. One thing that I did also think was funny was when the nanotech suit went into what's that character's name with the spider legs,
Doc Ock or Dr. Octopus, but technically his name is Otto Octavius.
Okay, that's a lot. Dr. Ock. Sure. I'll say that. Dr. Ock. So when his like suit goes and, you know, takes over Dr. Ock's spider arms, and then like while being held against the wall, right, his suit paired to Dr. Ock's arms as if it was like a Bluetooth device. Like, yeah. I just thought that was hilarious. It was like, yeah, connect, take control, easy.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. You like see the little thing pop up on his display. It's like, oh, Bluetooth available. He's like, cool.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. It's a little bit lame, but also kind of funny. But that's all right.
Yeah, I thought it was, just talking about the villains overall, I think obviously, I don't know, Peter Parker obviously doesn't know exactly what's happening, but they set it up in this movie to make it seem like they're like, oh, no, if you... Because they remember that after he captures everyone and they're all in the Undercroft in those little magic cages, and they're talking about like, oh, well, you died. And then someone else is like, well, you died too. And then someone else is like, oh, well, shit, I think I was about to die before I came here as well. And they're like, oh, my gosh, we're all like, they make it seem as if everyone got zapped here right before getting killed.
Yeah.
But that's like definitely not entirely what happened. And also, Spider-Man's plan would really only save two of them out of the five, because really? the lizard at the end of his movie, he gets cured anyway. And we know that because even later in this movie, remember Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man was like, oh, I've cured him before, so I can make that thing again.
Yeah.
So Lizard didn't die in his movie. He got cured.
Interesting. Okay.
Sandman also didn't die at the end of Spider-Man 3. He just like drifted off.
So he died?
No, he just like, he kept his sand powers and he just like left. He was like, all right, well, I don't have anything else to do here. And he just like went about his business.
LOL. That's a fucking boring ending to a movie.
Well, Spider-Man 3 is a whole separate can of worms. And then Doc Ock, he mentions right before he came to this universe, he was like, I had Spider-Man by the throat. And he keeps talking about the power of the sun in the palm of my hands. And the moment where he's choking Spider-Man in his movie, in Spider-Man 2, right after that scene, he like redeems himself and sacrifices himself because the machine that he was creating like starts overloading. And so to prevent it from killing a bunch of people in the city, he like destroys all of the supports and like pulls it into the bottom of the river, and he like drowns with his machine.
Oh shit.
So okay. I'm like, even like Spider-Man fixing the little chip on the back of his neck, that's not going to stop him from dying, because even after that, if you send him back to the exact moment he left, his machine is still overloading and he's still going to have to sacrifice himself to save other people.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I mean, he's going to die anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So really the only people that are potentially saved is Electro and Green Goblin.
Yeah, so whatever happens to Electro in his movie?
He like
he just gets killed, actually.
So much energy that he like just evaporates pretty much. Like I think the way they describe it is he turns into pure energy. So he can't create a body anymore, and he can't like talk or move around. Like he just is electricity.
Damn. Okay, that's one way to do it. Interesting. Okay. Well, I guess Tom Holland doesn't know of any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess.
But still, it was a little silly.
A little much. It's good that you can put it all together like that. I mean, I wouldn't have known. That didn't catch my attention at all. speaking of now the good guys, because we just talked about the bad guys overall.
Yeah.
I think that, I'll start with Tom Holland again. I think he is such an emotional actor when it gets to it. Like he can really, really, really pull those cards and act that out in a way
he's a good crier.
He's a very good crier, like unbelievably good.
Yeah.
It's just a thing with him. Like every time I see him, he's just like, you know, one of the last movies that we said you were like, what did you say? That it was almost too much because you'd just seen it in the movie prior.
Right. Because he had a big crying scene in Infinity War. And then he had another crying scene in Endgame. And I was like, bro, I literally just watched you cry in the last movie.
Yeah. And now you see him cry again. But yeah, I mean, I think he's just like very, very good and like just a good actor when it comes to this emotional shit, which is why they could fit so much of that into it.
Yeah.
I think all the Spider-Men did very decent. I think maybe Tobey Maguire was a little bit weak with his.
Yeah, he felt very restrained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something was off. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't feel comfortable around the other Spider-Men because maybe he actually does feel like he was one of the worst.
Nah, but I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Nah. Oh. People love Tobey Maguire.
Damn, really? I didn't for some reason, but that's okay.
I thought earlier you said he was your favorite.
No, Andrew Garfield, the OG one.
Tobey Maguire is the OG one. Andrew Garfield is the
I'm getting mixed up now. Okay, yeah. I'm getting mixed up. Tobey, flip that around and then that's what I said. Good go.
Okay.
All right. Let's see.
I think so after, because you were just talking about Tom Holland crying, obviously, Aunt May dies in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of a weird scene because they like almost like do a double fake out. She like she gets hit by the glider and I'm like, oh shit, is she about to die? And then she like stands up and she's like, no, I'm fine. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that was kind of weird. And then like they're talking and then she just collapses again. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah, like what happened there? How did she even die? Like what killed her?
I think she probably just had like very serious head injury. And obviously getting hit, like that glider was moving pretty darn fast and like clipped her right in the side. So
I honestly thought that it was going to cut her in half. I mean, that's kind of where my mind went.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they don't like show her wound, but you like Tom Holland reaches his hand down. It's like covered in blood. So I'd imagine it's a pretty big boo-boo.
A big boo-boo. Yeah. True. I don't know if that scene was necessary for him to get his aunt die. That everything there was also kind of weird.
I
mean, honestly,
I think at this point it's just tradition because for the other two Spider-Man, their Uncle Ben died.
Right.
And Tom Holland never, I mean, like, yeah, he briefly mentions that Aunt May's husband passed away, but like we never see his Uncle Ben or anything like that. It's like already.
So now they were like, fuck it, you're going to get one of your relatives dying in movie.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know if that's good enough reason to do that. I don't know. It was just like so off-putting and like weird the way it happened again. Like, I don't know. And then he like moved past it so fucking fast. Like that also took me kind of.
Well, I don't know. Balance. He was like,
I mean, he was pissed, but like
he was pissed and he was sad and he like went and he was sitting on the roof of the school, just bawling his eyes out.
Okay. True. But I don't know. It was just not necessary. Especially her. Like she was just, I don't know, kill someone else. Like why not kill his best friend?
Cause that's awful.
Well, yeah, but his aunt, you know?
Yeah, well.
That could have been like a nice like change from not his family dying, but his best friend.
Nah, because I know for die. It's part of Spider-Man.
I know Spider-Man. For one of the Spider-Men though, it was the girlfriend that died, right?
Well, his uncle also died. He just he lost two people.
I mean, but Tom Holland's uncle also died. We just never saw it.
Yeah, fair enough. But they even they talk about that because I don't know. It kind of that's the whole thing. Is this movie feels like it's trying to do a big reset, and it's like, oh, we're gonna have another family member death, and then at the end of the movie, it's he has just made his own spider suit and he's got an apartment. He's starting fresh, and they're really trying to make it seem like this is almost a new origin story, even though he already had one.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It kind of a little bit defeats the purpose of them skipping over it the first time. Cause you said, he did also have his own Uncle Ben dying, but all of that stuff had already happened when we first see him in Civil War. And it's just oh yeah, I've been Spider-Man for a few months, and it just happened. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a weird decision, but you do also get the moment where, because Aunt May has the iconic line where she's with great power must also come great responsibility. And when he's telling that to other two Spider-Mans,
they knew.
Yeah. Tobey Maguire was oh no, my Uncle Ben said that the day that he died as well.
Yeah. Did you also tear up in this movie during, I guess, the first time you watched it or the second?
I don't think Aunt May's death got me that hard. There was a moment later on. But we'll get to that.
I agree.
But so when they're talking on the roof and he's and Tom Holland's how did you know what she said? And he's oh, my uncle said that the night he died. And then he was so maybe that means that she didn't die for nothing. This is the universe obviously has a purpose. And I don't know, it's a little weird, but they're this is your moment.
Yeah,
all of us have a tragic moment, and this is your moment. But there was one thing that I really didn't like, is because they talk about, especially after Andrew Garfield mentions losing his girlfriend Gwen Stacy, and he said that he was trying to move on and continue being a superhero, and then he said, at one point he stopped pulling his punches and he started getting rageful, and I feel like that sounds like such a good movie. I'm almost upset that we don't get to see that. I think it would be so interesting to explore, this is Spider-Man just absolutely just full of anger and just beating the shit out of people. And having to go through this journey of self-discovery of learning to sort of be okay with life and not be angry like that.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I could definitely see that as being could be a good movie, but I don't know if I would want to watch a whole movie about that.
I think it could be good. I think it could be real good.
Yeah. Let's see. Anyway, back to the movie. I guess we can just kind of bounce from different time zones or in times in the movie and whatnot. But the scene, I'm going to skip a little bit in front of another one of my notes. The scene with Doctor Strange with Spider-Man in that mirror dimension.
Yeah.
That was very interesting and cool.
Okay.
But I did kind of think that the way Spider-Man was oh my God, I love geometry. Let me just do this and that. And, because he's a spider. So I guess, I don't know. That was a little bit weird for me.
He was oh, it's just math. I love math.
Yeah. And he was talking these formulas when he was bouncing off shit and doing the spider webs and shit. I don't know if I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Yeah, a wee bit too much
geometry. I feel like Doctor Strange should be more powerful.
I totally agree. He literally in his own dimension lost.
And even the thing where he punched Spider-Man, he did the astral projection thing and punched Spider-Man out of his body.
Yeah.
And then they don't really talk about it, but I think it's supposed to be part of his spider sense is his body automatically reacts to danger. And so even though his soul had been punched out, his arm was still trying to keep the thing away from Doctor Strange.
Oh, I see. But okay.
I also I get if he misses it the first couple times because he's confused and he's how the fuck are you doing this? But then once you've realized that he's doing that, like, you're an adult. You can just, like, grab him and hold him down. Like, there's no way that you're just going to, like, keep snatching at the cube and be like, uh-oh, I missed it again. Oop, I missed it again.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. That was a little bit dumb, too. Yeah, I just can't believe that they made Doctor Strange out to be so weak in this movie.
Yeah, it was a little off-putting.
Yeah, it's just not right. Just not right.
Or like even at the end when he comes back and he's like, once he escapes the mirror dimension and he gets the cube, and then MJ is like, oh, before you press the button, just know that like his plan is working and everyone is being cured. And then he's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then Green Goblin comes out of nowhere and he's like, I'm about to fuck shit up. And I'm like, at that point, as Doctor Strange, he should have just been like, boop, press the button. Like,
I agree.
You saved most of them. I think I'm okay if one of them gets fucked.
I agree. Like, fuck that one dude. Later, Gator.
And like, yeah, Peter'd probably be very upset with him, but oh well.
I mean, but at the same time, like, you wouldn't be upset because you saw that he was already, you know, taken over or whatever.
And also, he killed his aunt, so I don't think he'd be that upset.
And that, yeah.
True. So I feel like if Doctor Strange were as smart as he should have been, he, as soon as he saw Green Goblin, he'd have been like, nope, press the button.
True, yeah. I did think there were like some funny parts where when Tom Holland went to go fight the first person that we see, which is Electric Man.
Yeah.
I did think there was like good humor in the movie to where he had his Spidey suit on, but like for his best friend and his girlfriend to see him, they had to duct tape the phone to his chest. And I enjoyed that. Like, that is some shit that kids would do of like, just, we need to FaceTime you, so let's duct tape, you know, the phone to your chest.
See, that didn't make any sense to me, because I was like, I was looking at the phone and I was like, how can they see anything? Like, the top and bottom of the phone were covered by duct tape. I'm like, I know that's where the camera is, so there ain't no way they're seeing anything. And what, a type of phone where the camera's in the middle of the screen?
Mm-hmm, that's right. No, I have no idea, but I don't know. I just thought that was funny. Like, a little bit of like a giggle of like, this man just taped a phone to his chest so that people could see where he's going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also there's a line before that where he was like, Scooby-Doo the shit or something like that. I don't exactly remember what that was towards, but I did think that was funny.
Yeah. I also thought another not so exciting thing is right before the fight at the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. I really liked them just like talking back and forth and bantering and then being like,
yeah,
oh, like this and this, and he's like, oh, let me crack your back, and then just like, I loved 90% of that. But then there was a point where they were like, what's like the craziest villain you've ever fought?
Yeah.
And then every villain that they mentioned was just villains from their movies, which is like fine if they had been pulled directly from after their movies, but especially like Tobey Maguire Spider-Man is like freaking almost 50 in this movie, I feel like. And I'm like, you were supposed to be a teenager or like literally just graduated high school in the third movie or something like that. And I'm like, that means you've been Spider-Man for like 30 years and you haven't fought anyone more exciting than you did in the first 3 or 4 years of being Spider-Man. Like, that was your peak. I was like, that's a little disappointing.
Damn, that is true. Yeah. They could have just made whatever up. They could have made literally anything up. And they
could have
like,
said, and there are so many villains in the Spider-Man comics. They literally could have just like said one and been like, yeah, I fought this like crazy like scorpion thing, and people would be like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Like, even if it wasn't in the comics though, like, they could have just said whatever. That's true. Yeah. So, I did like that scene though too, because like when they were like all together, I think it was it Toby or was it Andrew Garfield? One of them was like, love you guys, and then the other two were like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a little bit too funny.
That was hilarious. Yeah, I really liked Andrew Garfield in this movie. I thought he did a great job of just being like a bro. And he's just like, man, I'm so excited to just like be with two other versions of myself. And I, like, you
that's
know,
true.
He felt that's very true. Like, he connected with them immediately.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But again, there was that one point where Andrew Garfield was like, hey, man, like, you need to, in that same conversation, he was like, hey, man, like, you know, don't talk down on yourself. And
All right, because that was right after the villain conversation, because they were talking about how they had both fought aliens, and Andrew Garfield was like, I never fought an alien. All my villains are boring. I'm like, not as cool as you guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's when, like, at the beginning, you were like, he's so confident. And then I just remember that scene. I'm like, dude, he was like the least confident. Fucking Tobey Maguire had to like step up for him and be like, no, listen, like, you're doing great. Yeah, awesome.
And he like even specifically called him amazing, which Andrew Garfield's movies were called The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, no way. That's good. Yeah. I didn't notice that. That's funny.
But I did like, speaking of more about Andrew Garfield, the moment that did end up making me cry both times in the theater and the second time is when MJ gets knocked off of the scaffolding.
Oh, my God.
And then Tom Holland goes to save her and then gets knocked out of the way by Green Goblin. And immediately you see Andrew Garfield like sprint and dive down and catch her. And then after they land, and he's just like holding her and looking at her. And she was like, he asks, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, are you okay? And he's like, you can see him tearing up and just like knowing, because that's like almost the exact same situation where he lost his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Is she was falling and he couldn't save her. And so this moment of catharsis for him of like being able to save his like not his basically. Girlfriend, but like his his alternate self's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I just like that was such a touching moment.
I 100% that's the moment that made me tear up too. The harmony between him, his emotions, and then this girl that's not his girlfriend.
Right.
But you could obviously tell that, like, I almost as a sense of like him getting over the fact that he wasn't able to for his girl.
It's like him being able to like finally forgive himself.
Exactly. That's what the word is. Yeah.
And like he not only saved her life, but also like he knows that he is like he's also saving Tom Holland's life, because he knows that like losing this person could fuck him up. And so he's like, I don't want this other Spider-Man to have to go through that.
Yeah. That was probably one of the more beautiful parts of the movie, I would say. Like, even though like he didn't say anything big, and like it was just like, you know, whatever, swooping down and saving him. But if you know the backstory of like his life and what happened to him, that's they, like, when it they really hits.
They didn't really like make, I don't know, they didn't make a big deal out of it. It was just like an emotional moment, and just like you understand it without them having to tell you and be in your face about it.
Yeah. And that's the point. That's one of the things I liked about that scene too. They weren't on the nose with it. Like you had to know. And if you didn't know, then it was just like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
I did think whenever they finally saved the Electro man. What's his name? Electro dude? Electro man?
Just Electro.
Electro? Nice.
Yeah.
When they saved Electro and they were having like a heart to heart with him, and he was like, man, I thought you were going to be a black Spider-Man, because he was like in Detroit or wherever, in like the
Queens.
The hood, saving like all the poor people, the broke people. And he was like, man, I thought you were going to be a black Spider-Man.
And he was like, oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's like, I'm so sorry. Like, my bad. I thought that was funny. But like, dude, there should be a black Spider-Man. Why wasn't there a black Spider-Man coming from any of that?
Because black Spider-Man is not Peter Parker. Peter Parker is a white guy.
Okay,
there is a black Spider-Man, but it's not Peter Parker.
True. One thing that also was kind of like weird, because his Aunt May died by getting like hit by the little glider thing, and then she was fine, and then she like, you know, got hurt. Whereas I think it was Andrew Garfield Spider-Man was like for real fucking stabbed in the back.
Yeah, he was.
and then like nothing came of it. He was just like, yeah, I'm good. And then I think it was Tobey Maguire at one point. Like when Tom Holland came to them and like hugged them, was like, you guys are going to forget me, blah, blah, blah. And like left to go say bye to the other people.
Yeah.
I think it was Andrew Garfield. No, Tobey Maguire was like, yo, you're in a lot of pain, aren't you?
No, it was Andrew Garfield. Because like, Tobey Maguire's the one that got stabbed.
Oh, okay. It was a reverse. Yeah. But like, dude, I was like, man, that glider killed the mom.
You're,
and then,
you're in a lot of pain right now. And he's like, yep.
Yep, I am. But man.
I mean, that makes sense, though. Spider-Man literally has superhuman strength. Aunt May does not.
True, but do they have extra healing abilities?
I mean, he'll probably heal just the same, but also, like, he...
Like, where does his superpower come in? I don't know what...
Elena just got home.
I hear her.
Yes. Hi, Luca.
Hey. Oh God, she sounded so tired.
Yeah.
Wait, why is she so dead? Yo, she needs to stop partying all the time.
She says she was super busy at work today.
Oh, I see.
And also she has literally a 12-hour shift every single time.
Yeah, that's kind of rough. Can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine, but oof.
But also, right. So not like, yes, they first of all have super strength. So like if you punched Spider-Man, it would do a lot less damage than if you punched a normal person. So I would imagine the same thing happens with stabbing. Like, true. You stab a normal human, it's going to do more damage.
Yeah, I can see that. But also,
and then also, it was just like when Tobey Maguire got stabbed, it was literally just like Green Goblin with a knife stabbing him versus like a full on however many pounds glider going like 50 miles an hour directly into his back.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there was more force behind the glider than just the knife.
Okay, I can see that. I just thought that was like, again, one of those funny scenes of like, you know, he got stabbed and he was like, yep, I'm in a lot of pain. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
I did like, he was like, they ran over. He's like, are you okay? And he's like, I've been stabbed before. I'm fine.
he's a vet when it comes to being stabbed. Not a big deal. What did you think of Tom Holland having to go around everywhere and saying bye to people because everyone was going to forget him now?
Did not like.
He didn't like it. He doesn't like
because
it.
Because I have two big problems with the everyone forgets Spider-Man thing.
All right, let's hear it.
First of all, is it just like doesn't make any sense. Like, they keep talking about it as if it's a memory spell, but like, obviously this is like, this spell doesn't work if it just erases people's memory. Like, this has to be like actually changing reality.
It has to change like all their pictures, all their,
right. I'm like, people have text messages probably with him. There's like the video of freaking Mysterio calling him out, or like the whole like letters from MIT. Like, did all of that stuff just disappear? Did the shrine at the school disappear? And like freaking the bully guy Flash wrote a whole ass book about him being friends with Peter Parker. Like, what happened to that book? Book just gone?
True. Does that spell work that it just erases everyone's memory from that point onward? Or is it like it erases him as a person?
It must, because even like at the end we see him with like a GED book, which means he didn't finish high school. So I'm assuming somehow the spell like erased him out of the school records. Even I just doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, yeah, that does not make sense. That GED thing, right when you said it, I was like, oh fuck, that was for a fucking high school degree, not a college book.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cringe. Yeah, true. Yeah, I didn't like him going around saying goodbye to everyone either. It was a little bit.
And then also, he like
tacky.
Even if they had to go through with the spell and everyone else forget, I don't know why. Like, it would have been so easy to. I don't know why he had to leave. Like, just be like, okay, everyone's gonna forget, and that'll like stop all of this weird multiverse stuff. But then just like hang out at the Statue of Liberty, and then once the spell is complete, it's like, oh well. My best friend, my girlfriend, and Doctor Strange, all three of them are still here. So I can just like, Doctor Strange comes down and we all just like talk about it for like 30 minutes and be like, hey, you just did a memory wiping spell, but you guys know me. So
true.
And just like, just take that moment right there and like fill all of them in on the details. And then you at least have three people that know. But he is like, no, I'm going to disappear so that when your memory gets wiped, you don't see me anymore. I'm like, why? I don't think that would have broken the spell.
No, I agree with that. I mean, then again, we don't know how the spell works, but...
Well, but, like, if talking to them immediately after the spell would have broken it, then talking to them a couple days later would have broken it as well.
I agree.
So does that mean he can just, like, never talk to them again?
I mean, he did talk to them, though.
I mean, I guess he said his name, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I think he should have just stuck around and been, like, you're my friend. You're my girlfriend. This is a wizard.
Magic just happened. Or like, you should at least like, you know, video recorded it. So like, you know.
And also like how does the, because obviously people still remember Spider-Man. They just don't remember Peter Parker.
Right.
And that's like a whole extra level of confusing, because when he goes to his aunt's grave and then Happy is there and he's like, oh, how did you know her? And he's like, through Spider-Man. But I'm like, what? Like, I want to know what is happening inside Happy's mind Like, did he think that Aunt May was just Spider-Man's aunt and somehow he never learned his secret identity? Or, like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, that whole thing is just weird. I'm right there.
Like, does MJ know that she was Spider-Man's girlfriend, or does she just completely not remember any of it?
Good question.
And what about, like, there have got to been... There is, though, but, like, there have got to have been times where, like, they've spent long amounts of time together. Like, they... Like, does she just, like, oh, that's weird. I have, like, a whole week missing from my memory now because that whole week was with Peter Parker? Or does she just, like, remember her doing stuff by herself? I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know. Or if she, maybe she's, like, I was with someone, but I forget who it was, kind of thing.
I just, the logistics of this spell are kind of stupid.
Yeah. I wonder if we can do like some reading like into Doctor Strange's spell that he cast. Like maybe there's something out there, like lore or something that could explain why that happened.
I don't know.
But who knows? Not I. But did you watch the two extra scenes?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, the second one was really just a trailer for another movie.
Yeah, the second one was, I didn't understand again what was happening. It was like Doctor Strange ? What's happening? Doctor Strange evil mode? Those were my notes. I was like, what the fuck's going on right now?
Yeah, that was just a trailer for the next Doctor Strange movie.
Oh, did you watch that one?
Yeah, I think that's actually the next one on our list. So.
Ooh, okay. So we can't spoil it yet.
Yeah, that's the next one on our list.
Yet.
And then the first one is a tie over from the Venom movies. Which they like kind of offhandedly explain it as like, I think at the end of one of the Venom movies, he says that the symbiotic like alien species,
the goo,
are like, they have like a hive mind even between universes. So, and I think the idea is that because in Tobey Maguire's universe, there is a version of Venom that knows him. And so if all of the symbiotes are connected, then that means technically this Venom also knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, even though he doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm following that.
Very like they're just trying to
very strange.
chop together some writing so that it makes sense just because they wanted Venom to be in the same universe. They're like, I don't know, we have to make something up, but it's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets sucked over for like literally 5 minutes and then gets sucked back to his own universe. But then there's like a tiny little drop of the Venom goo that gets left behind.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
So yeah, we'll see where that goes.
Who knows? Maybe in the future we'll find out.
Maybe.
But man, I think that is all the notes I have. I mean, besides talking about that coffee scene at the end, and granted, like, I don't know if the way they ended the movie was a good way to end the movie. And this is excluding, of course, the extra scenes.
Right.
I don't know if that was a fulfilling him, like,
getting
ending.
A new apartment and a new suit and all that stuff.
Yeah. Like, I can't tell. I just can't tell if that was like a good resolution for me. Like, he literally lost everyone. Everyone forgot about him.
Yeah.
And he just went to this janky ass rinky dink apartment and sewed a suit together and went on his day. I don't know. It's strange.
Yeah.
It was just a weird, off-putting ending. But that's all I have. That's all I have, at least.
That's all I got, too.
All right. Well.
Well, sadly, I must say that I actually don't have any trivia for us this week.
Really?
I looked and all of it was just kind of sucky. It was just like boring stuff.
Really?
Like really boring stuff.
Ah, damn, that's tough. I can't believe there was like nothing in there with like input of the three Spider-Men being together for the first time in a movie, and it was so weird and cool for them, and this is how they felt. I can't believe nothing like that was in there.
I think one of them said that like the line where when Andrew Garfield says "I love you" to the other two Spider-Man, it says that that was improvised. But I'm always a little iffy on trivia like that because, like, I can't confirm whether that was actually improvised or not. They could have written that line in there.
True, true. Yeah, I mean, it did look like at least that they were a little bit off put by that comment. They're like, okay,
yeah,
but I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, you can't prove it, so it can't be trivia.
But we do have our section. Get wrecked.
Oh, yeah.
And I will start off with my recommendation for our audience today is going to be the video game Trombone Champ.
What the fuck?
I think it's sort of like a Guitar Hero kind of a game, but like not as serious. Like, it's definitely like kind of making fun of itself a little bit, and there's a lot of baboons in the game. But yeah, you can like play some songs and pretend that you're playing a trombone, and it's kind of fun. So
that is funny.
pretty cheap. You can pick it up on Steam. Definitely worth a shot, or at least like watch a YouTube video or something so you can see if it's something that you're into. But it's pretty entertaining.
I love that you picked that up to play. You were like, yeah, like I'm gonna download this and buy it and play it. This is a good one. That's hilarious. I think my rec is a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't say much about it, but watch Thor: Love is Thunder. That is all I'm gonna say.
You're gonna rec a movie that we're gonna do 2 weeks from now?
Yep. So that we can one, prepare for it, prepare for our, you know, podcast. But also just because, you know, it's a recommendation, that you should probably watch it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, okay, so if I don't do a movie recommendation, I guess I could do a song recommendation, yeah?
I mean, you could also do a movie. I just think it's funny that we're about to review that movie.
Yeah, man, it's like a pre-sequel, making sure that everyone knows, like, hey, this movie's coming up.
All right.
And it's, I'm just going to say it's good. I feel like that's fair to say.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Links for all three of those are in the description. And Luca, will you tell them what kind of messages they can send us?
They can send us messages from, hey man, I loved your podcast. Super dope. You guys are awesome people. To, hey, I just recently watched this other movie and I would love to hear what you guys have to say about it. To your own opinions about what we talked about, if you agree with us or don't agree with us. I mean, there's a lot that you can come with us. And also, if you have any recommendations, whether that's movie related or not, we could always add, you know, a portion into our podcast of reviews that you give us, or recommendations that you also give us as a viewer that we can try.
Sure. Yeah. This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.